Hello everyone, and welcome back to another Right Before, Right After. I am, as always, author Tom Harwick, talking really awkwardly in my intros and my outros, because I never know how to do them, but that's okay. I'm only like 9 or 10 episodes in. Why rush? Oh, I swear, at some point I'm going to start organizing these more like a bullet point of talking points and have more of an idea of what I'm actually going to say and not just ramble. But that will happen one day, but today is not that day. However, I do know what I want to talk about today. I actually have kind of a topic before going into my writing session. It actually has to do with the writing session. So, and then I meant to do this last night, but then I didn't. I was watching with agony as my fantasy football team barely hung on to a victory. So I figured I'd do it this morning. And I don't know. It's actually, today is Tuesday. I want to do the editing videos, what am I saying? Editing podcasts on Tuesdays. So, I may do a second episode. If not, I'll do it tomorrow. Always tomorrow. But anyway, I have been meaning for a while to write a query letter for Cemetery Spade and some of my other stories that I'm currently working on. So I thought that that might be a good time to talk about query letters and what the heck they are. A query, of course, that's a question, and that's kind of what the query letter is for an author. It's we write to the publisher and we're asking them if they'd like to take a look at our book, basically. It's a little different than an actual book proposal. That is much larger, has a cover letter, an overview, and you get into your platform and all that, which you can kind of do on a query letter too, but the book proposal will usually end with actually having the whole manuscript attached, whereas a query letter is like about a page, single spaced. Book proposals double spaced, and it's just a real quick, just to see if they're interested. And it's kind of interesting. I always thought of, I've taken some courses and stuff, but I wouldn't call myself overly trained. I have no degree or anything, and anything like that. So some of the things that I do, it's kind of, I do because that's how I learn, because I'm mostly self-taught, so sometimes you just get stuff in your head. It goes this way, you do this. So anyway, query letters are something I always thought about as being at after I have this story. So query letters, when you're shopping the book around, So in my head, it made sense. I have the book before I start shopping it around, seeing if anyone's interested. But one of the courses I was doing made an interesting point that I agree with, which was, if why not write the query letter first of several stories? Because especially for someone like me, who has a lot, multiple stories that are kind of half finished, you put the query letter out there and see if you get any bites. And that will, if you get a reply, if you get just a yes, we want to read more, then okay, someone really wants to read this story, so that's awesome. Now I know that I have, someone that's going to take a look at it, and I'm motivated to write it, you know, that's good for motivation, but also, if you have several stories like I do, I'll let you know which ones actually are drawing interest. You know, if you get a reply back on one but not the other, okay, I guess that's the one I need to work on, which I thought was actually pretty smart. Also, if the reply contains some, like, okay, we're interested in the idea, but what about this, this, or that, it can help you focus, kind of hone in on what you're trying to get across with your story, or give you a good idea of what they're looking for, you know, in a story. And if you know who's interested, which publisher is interested, then you know a little bit of, you know, what their audience is and that kind of thing. You can research that a little bit. And so, you know, you can kind of, okay, let me make sure I'm in line with other stuff that I've seen that they publish. You know, not carbon copying it or anything, but it's just something nice to know. Anyway, so I'm gonna try to do a query letter for several of the stories I'm currently working on. Probably my mystery, A Shot in the Park, also Cemetery Spade, of course. There's another one. Oh, what am I working on? Storytellers. Oh man, I need to do a lot more work on that. That's a cool one though. Anyway, I would like to do one for each of the books I currently am working on so that I could see which ones are drawing interest. But today I will probably, if I can, I'll do several, but probably I'll kind of focus on Cemetery Spade. Alright. But I liked, it kind of cracked me up, so, you know, I have my classes and videos and things I do, and one of them, as I said, was on writing a query letter and proposals, and suggested doing the query letter first, and of course, I'm a writer, so I like etymology. I like learning where certain terms and phrases came from, you know, like, raining cats and dogs is a very interesting one. You should look that up. It's more literal than you would think. But one I thought was interesting they brought up was calling card. Yeah, you used to, hey, let me use my calling card. And apparently, in the olden days, when a man would quarter a lady, announce his intention, he would literally, like, leave a card, his calling card. If it received well, he would call on her. I thought that was funny. And in the same way, and he compared our query letters to that. We're kind of courting these publishers. Right? You got a story you're writing. You want to see if someone's interested, if they'd like to read it. And so you court them. And the way we do that is with, as I've said several times, the query letter, which is about a single space, 12 font, probably keep it Times New Roman, don't get fancy, page long, kind of little description of your, you know, your birth, yourself, everything. Like I said, not as long as a book proposal, but just enough to give them a clear idea of what you're writing and whether they might be interested. It's, one of the things they suggest to do is to be able to, and granted, you will probably have a couple paragraphs to explain your story in, but can you sum it up in a sentence? Which is interesting. It's kind of a joke among writers and writing forums and stuff that I've seen, but so true that we write, you know, what, 50, 60,000 words, 100,000 words, some people 200,000 words. I have a friend, he's trying to write like 500,000 words, I don't know. Crazy amounts. We do outlines, we build worlds, and yet if you talk to any writer, usually they're pretty terrified of having to write a synopsis or a query letter. I don't know if it's just because it doesn't come naturally, it's a little out of our usual, we spend more time writing the actual story, or if it's just, you know, it's hard to take something that you're working on, you're trying to build and to lay out there and then just sum it up. That's why it's so funny. I love talking, writing with people or just talking books, but I've done, a few book signings and stuff, not very successfully, but book signings are a whole nother, I'll have to do a podcast on that, those are funny. Anyway, I've done some book signings, and it always cracks me up, or just talking to people about my writing, the amount of sheer terror that creeps in when they ask me, what's your book about? And I'm like, this is weird. I wrote a book to share with people because, I want that feeling of, sharing my story, sharing my world, and having them explore it and enjoy it. And for some reason, when I have to just point blank sit there and tell you, oh, it's about this, I get terrified. How do I encapsulate all the things that are my book? Probably I'm just worried that it's gonna sound dumb, but no. So you have to, for instance, Cemetery Spade. I have a, zombie detective. I have, my world's kind of weird. I have, your typical dumb ambling zombies, and I have my more intelligent zombies that have started to make their own kind of system. They have gangs. They have, a hierarchy of sorts. They have detectives. And, or at least one of them, pieces that they hold on to are their past lives, and they don't realize they had past lives. They think zombies are their own thing. And he is visited, he gets his client as this zombie they call the professor, because he studies human behavior, which is dangerous to do because, humans don't tend to get along well with zombies. And he has a theory that zombies actually came from humans, and that their memories are slowly coming back for some reason, and they don't know why. And he thinks that there's a group that kind of is over everything that you don't see for most of the book, that no one has seen, the council. And he thinks they have lied to everyone about the origins of the zombies in order to kind of keep control. And there's this one main, kind of the creation event of sorts, like the fall of mankind and the rise of zombie kind, at this one place called the Tower of Reckoning, that they're gonna go to, and that's the job. Cemetery has to get the professor to this tower and unravel the mystery, all while kind of unraveling a mystery of his own about his, past. But how do I boil that down to a sentence? I think I can do it, but it ain't easy. And then you have a paragraph or two after that to explain the book, which is interesting. That's a lot like, so it's similar to a synopsis, which, if you're not familiar with that word, I'm sure you are. The synopsis gives the synopsis of your book. It's, the little book blurb we usually put on the back, or not blurb, but yeah, for the Guardian, let me grab the guy that tells you what the book's about. Turn the book around. When I buy a book myself, I always say the cover has to be just interesting enough for me to pick it up. It has to look a little different, be kind of cool. Once I pick it up, it has to be just good enough for me to flip it over and read the synopsis. And the synopsis has to be just good enough to make me open up that book and read chapter one. And if chapter one is good, I buy the book. And which is kind of what I try to do with my books. I want the cover to be interesting enough to flip it over, the synopsis to be interesting enough to get you read chapter one, and most everyone, especially now, will tell you, don't waste too much time setting stuff up in chapter one. You gotta hit them hard and hook them with the first sentence if you can, which is, I guess, very similar to what you're trying to do here in the query. You're trying to hook them with the first sentence and then hit them with what is kind of like the synopsis. I'll read the synopsis for The Guardian that I have. This is my book, The Guardian, that is available on Amazon. Found easily if you just look up my name, Tom Hardwick. It's only like 10 bucks. It's a really good book. You should check it out. I like it. The Kingdom of Drakwald. Known among the four realms of Warm as a land of adventure, danger, and above all else, legends. Nearly every citizen dreams of being a hero immortalized in the Hall of Legends, a sanctuary cut through the heart of a mountain, where tales of Drakwald's most fabled warriors are preserved and told to all. When invaders from Kiln, their cursed black magic-wielding enemies to the south, seek to desecrate the hall and break the spirit of the people, a lone soldier will have to protect this beloved place of honor no matter the cost. One of the few Drakwald warriors who never aspired to be a legend must now become something more. The nameless old soldier that wants to be forgotten must fight a battle that could see him remembered always as the Guardian. So that's a synopsis. And you'll see, it doesn't give you much. It just sets up the world and... In fact, this one probably gives more than... Because it's like, the book's named The Guardian, I'm assuming he succeeds. And he does, kind of, but with a twist. Anyway, you want to leave stuff unanswered for the reader. And you might even ask a question. You know, does it, can he succeed? Will he overcome the hordes of attackers and vampires? Find out next week. So... You kind of want to do that in a query. You want to have that same feeling of whetting their appetite. But in a query, you can give them a little more. They need to know what the story's about. So, you might not be quite as vague. Although, I feel like I set up the landscape pretty well there, actually. That may not be that bad for a query. Let's read another one. Here's my Sons of Heaven, the Haunted. This, again, these are the blurbs there on the back. The world is sick. An unstoppable virus rages. Millions die, and major cities in every country fall under quarantine. That sounds a little familiar. Ew. A private corporation creates a miracle cure and are heralded as saviors, but then everything goes silent. Communication in and out of the quarantine cities is restricted. The military goes in, and rumors leak out. Bizarre rumors of monsters and people driven mad. Isaac is a survivor in Los Angeles. After losing his wife to the strange sickness, he races to discover the truth, the terrifying truth, behind the monsters called Haunted, the mysterious treatment, and a strange secret society, in order to take vengeance on those responsible for the outbreak before he himself becomes haunted. So that's just a real, it doesn't give me a ton, but it lets you know who the main player, who the protagonist is, kind of who the antagonist is, what the stakes are, where it's at, sets up the world slightly. Let's go to Cemetery Spade, because I actually did write a little. If you go to my website, tomhardwick.com, you can see some of my coming soon, some of the books I'm working on, and I have little blurbs for them. Cemetery Spade Zombie Detective. That's right. I said Zombie Detective. I like that I put that in there. Cemetery Spade was more than happy to while away the apocalypse, running the city's only zombie detective agency. filling his time with the occasional odd job and the even more occasional client. But when he agrees to help a zombie known as the Professor that has a fascination with the human world and is having impossible dreams of a different life, he finds himself in the middle of the most dangerous case he's ever tackled. He will need all his skills as an undead investigator to find the truth behind the origins of zombie kind, the Tower of Reckoning, the end of the world, and the strange dreams, especially after he begins to have them himself. Ooh, ended with a little twist there. Okay. And now see that, well, maybe minus this last paragraph, but that opening might be a good way to lead in. Like, cemetery, say, and you can stay vague there, and then give them a little more. Because again, you're going to want to give the publisher more than you would the reader, and yet you also have to get across that feeling of, you know, whetting their appetite, of not giving them enough. They want to have more. They want to, you know, contact you and say, hey, I would like to read this story. And then, and if you were wondering, because I was wondering this myself when they were talking about doing the query letter first, well, if they contact you and you don't have a book ready. But apparently that's not unheard of and not a huge deal. You if they were interested in reading this, then you contact them back, and I expect to be done around this time, and you know, I would love to send you a copy. And then you get it done. And even if that, you know, say that were a deal breaker, probably not. They want to read it. So, and chances are they're reading a lot of things. So it's probably not a big deal that it might take you a bit. That just gives you extra motivation to get the thing done. But, you know, I plan to have it done by the end of the year. And I would love to have you take a look at it. Even if that were a deal breaker, you still have the knowledge that you got someone interested, so clearly the book's worth writing. You know, so I'm gonna do this because I would like to see. And then there are other things you can, let's see. Some of the suggestions for writing a killer query. So when you open it up, do your research. Don't address it to, you know, publisher or to whom it may concern. Find out the name of the person who does the acquisitions editing, and use their name. Give it a personal touch. Reduce your idea to a sentence. As I said, you want to lead into there. And unlike there's kind of that voice when we're writing a book synopsis on the back, you know, that, one lone soldier in a world, you know, write conversationally. You're telling them about your story, just like you would tell anyone on the street, hopefully with less panic than I do. It's really one of the things that make me panic when people ask me. Like, I want people to ask me what my book's about, but I'm also terrified. Think reader first. So, first and foremost, the publisher is a reader. They are reading to see if they like this. It's got a hit, it's got a hook. You gotta hook them quick and keep them. And just think, you know, if you were reading this, if you were someone who held the fate of, you know, starving writers, I am not starving. Well, I kind of am, but only because I'm on a diet. But if you held the fate of struggling writers in your hands and had to give the, you know, the very rare opportunity to have something made of their book to one of them, would this hook you and make you think, yeah, this is the one? And then introduce yourself. It's tricky. Provide, you know, info on why you're qualified to write the book, which we take in different ways. I am by nature self-deprecating, and just been taught to try to be humble. I'm a very humble man, let me tell you how. But, so I don't, you know, none of us. I think this is a common thing. Self-promotion is kind of hard for writers. We're not the kind that tend to, on average, I'm talking very broadly here, usually not the kind that self-promote that tends to be one of the tougher parts of marketing yourself. And talking yourself up and that's just, you know, writers are often introverts, often, you know, a little, well, you know, as I've said before on here, whiny, but not always the best confidence. So, we don't always, hey, of course I would write this book, I've got this, and not all of us have. Like I said, I've taken, I took a creative writing course when I was younger. I do my, I have my Writer's Guild, I have several different, groups and stuff, and I bounce my ideas off other writers, and I just write, and there's a course, another course I'm taking, and anytime I can find any kind of book or course or anything, I try to absorb that knowledge. As I've been struggling to become a writer, I absorb anything I can get a hold of, but, you know, I don't have a degree, I've self-published 2 novels, but I haven't had huge success or anything, so when you get to that part, it's like, oh, I don't have anything. But you do. Chances are, you have something. I do have books I've written before. I don't have a huge platform. I have a podcast. It has 24 listeners, roughly. which is actually pretty good, considering I've told a few close friends, and I might have posted once on my Facebook, but I've been purposely keeping this kind of under wraps, because I want to get several episodes down, because I know how I am. I've been wanting to do this every day for a while, and yeah, you see how I am. I'm like an episode every couple weeks. I'm a procrastinator. I'm trying to get a handle on it and, you know, be more structured. But, so anyway, I haven't really told that many people about this, and yet I have, like, I don't know, 200 listens and 24 people, and hey! That's actually pretty good, so thanks everyone that, you know, whether you came here because I asked you to listen to it, or if you just happened upon this, this is pretty awesome. But anyway, we have something, and don't limit it just to your experience as a writer, or, you know, what your platform is per se. Myself, so like Cemetery Spade, I'll just go on a little rant here, because that's what I do. So Cemetery Spade is kind of rooted in that old school, not just detective or noir, but if you've ever listened to the old time radio shows, it's written a lot like kind of like an old timey radio detective or a dime store novel. And so a little bit about me, I was raised on that stuff. Obviously, I came along a little bit after the radio program, or the radio detective age, but my father, when I was young, he'd get, like, these CD collections of, like, old-time radio detectives and stuff, and I loved it. And so despite it being a little bit, and I'm kind of like that, I'm kind of out of the things I like are not in my era. It's weird. But I love, you know, Sam Spade, Philip Marlowe, Rex Stout, or Nero Wolfe, sorry. The writer was Rex Stout. But, you know, Nero Wolfe, Boston Blackie, yours truly, Johnny Dollar, Rogues Gallery is a favorite. And I even have, there's a modern one I think I've talked about on here before. If you ever look up Dakota Ring Theater, they make modern shows that are like those. They make them like an homage to old time radio, and they have Blackjack Justice, which I absolutely love. And there's actually a couple nods in Cemetery Spade. There's not ripping anything off or anything, but there's like little nods to Blackjack because I love their program. I think it's amazing. Anyway, I grew up on old timey radio type stuff and reading, you know, Rex Stout and Raymond Chandler and a lot of detective stuff. So, you know, they say write what you know, which is funny because I don't know fighting in a fantasy world against vampires, and I don't know being a gritty, you know, detective, a hard-boiled gumshoe solving a crime. But I know them because I have read them. I love them. Those are the things that, you know, write what you love is what I say. Don't get in a genre just because you think it's a thing to do. Like, oh yeah, this is sci-fi is popular. Let me write a sci-fi. Although, write a sci-fi, you know, if you feel like trying it. I definitely don't limit myself to genre. I love, I tell stories. And those stories take many shapes. Sometimes it's sci-fi, sometimes. But anyway, I digress. But often they're mysteries because that was a big part. And I moved on. I read a lot of I won't say a lot, but I read fantasy now and I enjoy fantasy. And so I also write fantasy. But, I cut my teeth on mystery. It's really funny because my first book was, you know, like kind of sci-fi horror, so and kind of they're not zombies, but they're zombie adjacent. And even Cemetery Spade, of course, is a zombie. So yeah, he developed taste later, and you add them. Sometimes you can even blend them. But long story short, and it won't be as rambly as that, but that could be in there. Just the fact that, you know, I'm steeped in this stuff. As a writer, as a reader, I love this. Detective, noir, whodunits, you know. This is a thing. Get that across too. You know, your platform, I've got a website, I've got a podcast, I've got, you know, Facebook. It's small. I've done some local book signings. It's not huge, but it's something. And just don't go into it too far. I probably won't in my query letter. So anyway, there's some other good pointers and stuff, I'm sure, but I'm also sure that I've been wasting time rambling, so. Oh, actually, I did want to talk about a couple of things. So, and this is good. Whenever you're, and I don't know how much this will apply. I know some of the people that listen to the show, and I know that they are currently working on books. However, I don't know if they're even thinking about shopping them yet. However, and you know what? Baker, I'm talking to you now. It might be worth shopping, you know, putting some query letters out there and seeing if people are fascinated. You know, if nothing else, I had, my friend Mike Baker, you may remember I just edited his story. And he's a writer, he writes, but it is not his primary focus. He is currently learning, programming? Code? Writing code? Computer stuff. Stuff that's way above my head. He made my website. He's taking another crack at it and probably gonna come up with an updated version. He's working on, you know, like writing video games and stuff, making that kind of thing. Really cool. Really cool stuff. So far over my head. Anyway, writing is not, you know, for me, that is primary objective. For him, secondary. But he tells stories. He's a storyteller. And he writes stories, and you read it. You heard me read it. It's good. I like it. I like it a lot. And there is, when I talked to him about it, I got the, and I've had this same feeling. You know, you write it, you look at it, you like it. And you kind of put it out there, and, you know, maybe people read it, maybe they don't. But when someone's like, oh, wow, they really connect with it. They, hey, man, I was really intrigued. I don't know exactly what's going on. I love your little robot. That's such a good feeling the first time you realize, holy crap, someone other than me really likes my world. You know? And I still am awkward when I get stuff. I still don't know quite how to take that. It's a great feeling, but, you know, you feel a little embarrassed. Like, you know, I kind of want to try to do cartwheels right now, but I'm very unathletic and large, and that would be very bad for everyone involved. But, yeah, you get like that. You kind of go and you kind of want to probe about it a little bit, and then you're like, you know, oh, wait, I forgot. I'm awkward and, you know, I get a little nervous when I talk about my own stuff, and you reel it back in. But and he's not as neurotic as I am, because he's not mainly a writer, he does other things, so that's probably why he's still somewhat sane. But I could tell when talking to and, you know, listening to, and he said, you know, he was like, hearing you tear the stuff apart and then hearing it, you know, kind of cut down, and that I realized, oh my gosh, that's really a story. Like, you know, it's a real decent, good thing. I was like, yeah, you got something. Keep working. Like, something that I think, like me, he's kind of, like I said, he was floundering on it a bit, not sure where to go, and so he doesn't have it finished. And I got on there, and it's like, bro, finish it, because now I want to read it. And that's such a good feeling when you get someone that actually wants you to finish something. The first time you get someone actually, like, invested in your story. And then it becomes a bad feeling when you never finish your stories like me. So finish your story, Baker. Don't be like me. But, I was going down that road for a reason. And I don't remember what it was. Oh, yeah. Anyway, it is a good story, and I liked it a lot, and so maybe you should shop it around and get that feeling if someone actually bites and says, hey, we'd like to read more. You know, that's what I was gonna... So he told me, you know, and I was like, man, actually hearing that someone liked it, hearing it out loud, it's like, I was stuck on it, but now I'm inspired. Like, that night, it was late, too, we were on Xbox, and it's like, I'm ready to go. Like, I want to just write. So, which is good, you know. And it might be worth it to do what I'm doing here. Come up with a query letter for it and throw it out there. And you might not get a reply. That doesn't mean it's not worth anything. That just means publishers get a lot of query letters. But if you do get a reply, imagine the motivation, right? Some of the other stuff to remember. Oh man, I just thought of something. And then I forgot it. Yeah, wow, that's crazy. Some of the stuff you can do when you're researching your query letter. Obviously, I just kind of Googled. Hey, how do I write one? And I found some cool stuff, too. Interesting things, too, because mine is more in the mystery genre. It's written like a whodunit, because that's the genre. Like, I love whodunits, and I wanted it to have that feel. And I guess the whodunit in this case would be who is behind all this. What is the original? What happened to create the zombie apocalypse, and who's behind it, and why? So there is kind of a whodunit. It's not your typical cozy murder mystery type thing. But there is a... So, it gets kind of interesting because, like I said before, the difference between a query and a synopsis... is the synopsis is supposed to leave mystery because you want the reader to read the book. You want them to turn it over, open to chapter one and read. And then hopefully hook them. The publisher needs to know where your story's going, so you have to add more detail and give away some things. But a mystery, that can be kind of tough, Oh, right, because... You know, how do you get them hooked? Give them enough info to go on. But... not give away the big twist to the book. You know. And I thought... So I found this lady... Janet Reed, writer, who she talks about doing this, and then she has, and these, again, these aren't from, I don't think these are from Corey Letters for these books, but they are from Amazon. She went and got some Agatha Christie novels, which of course Agatha Christie writes mysteries. And looked at the little rundown on Amazon. And I'm just going to read one of them. Lord Edgware dies. When Lord Edgware is found murdered, the police... I hope that's how you pronounce the name, because if I did all this and then I pronounce it wrong, I'm going to feel stupid. Is found murdered. The police are baffled. His estranged actress wife was seen visiting him just before his death, and Hercule Poirot himself heard her brag of her plan to get rid of him. But how could she have stabbed Lord Edgware in his library at exactly the same time she was seen dining with friends? It's a case that almost proves to be too much for the great Poirot. Sir Poirot. So, sorry, if you haven't seen Hercule Poirot, then you don't know why I'm talking like an idiot. Also, it's a terrible try at the accent. Anyway, so, okay, we know who's murdered, we know the setup, what the big mystery is, that it's Hercule Poirot investigating. This is more along the lines of a synopsis, but it actually gives you some decent detail, but it doesn't tell you how she did it. So that's kind of the tightrope you have to walk with a mystery, is you gotta... You gotta get them interested, you gotta let them know what the world is, what the setup is, what the main problem is. The main conflict that will be resolved, or the main question that has to be answered. And of course, who the protagonist is, what his or her motivation is. And then some of the things you can do while you're getting ready to pitch this. So you come up, I'll stop, pause the podcast here in a bit and... do up my own synopsis, you do up yours, get a nice punchy opening sentence that describes your entire book, and then follow it up with a couple paragraphs that lay everything out the publisher needs to know, tell a little bit about yourself, boom, okay, I've got a page, I'm ready to send it out, study, do your research, look at the publishers you want to send it to, what they sell, maybe check out some of their books. Figure out your genre. Mine is mystery. More specifically, noir, whodunit kind of corner. Find similar things. Also, mine is a mashup, so... How long are we going? How long has this been going? What am I at? 43 minutes. My goodness, I swear I'm trying to get these shorter. Okay, so... I'll just go for it. So Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, Slayer. I would say Slayer, and then I realize it's Hunter, and then I feel stupid. Anyway, I read, and if you've never read the book, if you've only watched a movie, read the book, because it's totally different. I admit, I was really discouraged, too, that he actually had Seth Graham Smith. He had a big part in, like, he did the script. So I'm like, you know, you get in, you see a movie, and you're like, oh, that really departed from the book. I hate that they did that to the author. And then you realize in this one, the author did it to himself. Why'd you do that? But if you ever read the book, you see it actually would be difficult to make it. I think they could have done it. I had some idea, but it would have been difficult to do it the way it was written. The way it was written was really just for a book. And I like the movie as a separate just kind of action movie, but it lacks the intelligence that the book has, quite frankly. The way he weaves the story into history, he gives you a lot of history, so much so that, and parts of history that, was it Roanoke Island, the group that disappears, anyway, things in history that actually make more sense with vampires in them, which was really weird. But it actually explains some things to the point where it makes you think, like, huh. Right? Anyway, he does that mashup, Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. What's the other one? Sensibility and Sea Serpents, I think. And then he did one. I think it was the Three Wise Men. It was like The Birth of Christ, The Three Wise Men, but the wise men are assassins for some reason. And like Silent and Diddly Night or something. I forget what it was called. Anyway, I never read that one. I probably should. But he had a contest because he does the mashup. He takes two things, mashes them together. And so it was come up with mash two things together. And I was like, well, I love zombie stories and I love detective stories. And so I put them together. I hope I haven't told this story in the podcast before. I might have. And I started writing for the contest, and it was like, I don't know, 1,000 words, maybe 500. It wasn't much. And I a few hundred words in, knew, nope, you're not getting this one contest. Sorry, this is going to be a book. And, you know, now I've got 10,000 words of it done and hoping to get the other 40,000 or so soon. And several years later, and away we go, you know. But, anyway, sorry, I rabbit trailed again. So, it's also a mashup. So, the publisher he used, you know, might like something weird like this. You know, for me, not only is it a mystery, it's kind of, you know, it's not a comedy, but it's zombies. It's weird. It's a weird mystery. And so I got to take that into account too. Find things that you would consider, and I actually did find another guy that did a zombie detective. Luckily, he didn't name it Cemetery Spade. And luckily, he's not very famous, so I still got a chance. But compare it to things in his genre, things that kind of feel like your story. See how they tackle, like, the synopsis. Look at the, you know, I really liked the Janet Reed there looked at Amazon. Go on Amazon, cruise it, and see what they do for the little blurb on Amazon. You know, most of the time they'll just do the synopsis, but sometimes they might tweak it a little bit. And see how they did that and see how they attack it. That also might be sometimes you can add that in the thing, things that your book can be compared to give the publisher an idea of the kind of the tone, the style of your book. You know, you research media, study the influencers, go on social media, see. Go on forums, you know, regarding your genre, regarding books that are kind of like yours, and see what people say and what they like. And of course, they always tell you to determine your target readership. Like, who are you writing to? You know, I mean, when we write, we're just telling stories, right? That's tough sometimes. I don't know. I'm not writing it to someone. I just had a good story in me and wanted to get it out. But you kind of do. Every story has someone it's kind of targeting. Which I gotta give my parents some props here, because they have really gone outside of their comfort zone with reading. Because the books they like, the mysteries and stuff, I haven't finished. The books I have finished have been sci-fi, horror, and fantasy, which is so not in either my mother or father's wheelhouse. But they read them, and they liked them. In fact, my mother keeps bugging me about the Second Sons of Heaven. She's like, you got me to like this genre. You know, that I would never like normally, or a story in this genre. And you left it on the cliffhanger. Spoiler alert, it ends on a cliffhanger. Life advice. Don't make your first book a series, and if you make it a series, don't end on a crazy cliffhanger and then not write the next book for like 10 years. People don't like that. George R.R. Martin kind of does it, but he's George R.R. Martin. He gets away with it. You'll just get yelled at. And then we talked about the platform and stuff. So, I'm gonna go ahead and pause here and go take a crack at this and see if I can't come up with a nice little synopsis here, and then come back, read it real quick, and then end this thing, because it's gonna be an hour. Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, everyone, I really tried. Okay, not done with it yet. I'm popping back in here for a couple things. One, I just realized, just to let you know, I help homeschool my niece Stella right now, and we are in science. We are in minerals and mining and that kind of thing. And so if I occasionally in here say quarry instead of query, just know that rocks were kind of on my mind. And it is a query letter. Query. You're asking a question. And then the other thing is I remembered something about some good advice, and I actually found an example. So I went on and Googled some examples of query letters, and I found one. So I figured I'd just read that real quick. This is kind of imaginary query letter. Dear Mr. Drury, see, my name. The Howling of the Sky is a fast-paced, fatalistic, epic fantasy that leaves the reader questioning whether they ever knew who to support in the first place. Okay, so it kind of sums it up and gives the genre. I forgot. You want to say what genre you are, what kind of book is this? Fast-paced is a little cliche, but I like it. Fatalistic, that's interesting. And I like the line at the end. Whether they ever knew who to support in the first place. Ooh, so it's a twisty, maybe psychological type thing. Alright, the Republic might be facing annihilation, but Reihalt Galharo's, I love the names they come up with, ambitions have long since been abandoned at the bottom of a brandy bottle. When a raven tattoo rips itself out of his arm to deliver a desperate message, Galharo and his disturbed childhood sweetheart are forced together to unravel a long-dead wizard's mathematical paradox. Princes, corrupt flesh-shapers, and the ghosts of the tortured wastelands all seek to destroy them, but if the paradox cannot be unraveled, then the Republic will be lost. Okay. I like it. That's very interesting. It gives the setup. Maybe a little more than you would on a synopsis, but it reads very much like a synopsis. You don't want to go too far away from that feeling. The Howling of the Sky is an epic fantasy novel of 135,000 words and would find a principal audience among fans of grimdark fiction such as Daniel Polanski's Lowtown series, Scott Lynch's The Lies of Locke Lamora, or Joe Abercrombie's First Law trilogy. Okay, so if you have the words or the approximate word count, that should be included. In our case, we are putting these out ahead of time, so if you want to put an approximate word, that's fine. But it may not, you know, be exact. That's fine. So, in our case, if you don't have the book done, don't know the word count. That's okay. But you see there, he did research, found things that are close to his style, or their style. I don't know if it's a he. Oh, Ed McDonald. Yes, it is a he. Okay. So, and reference them. This is the kind of audience I'm writing for. These are the people I could be kind of compared to. The publisher likes to know that. It gives them an idea of what the, you know, what your book is geared toward, if it lines up with the kind of books they publish. Also, when they go to start marketing, it gives them an idea of things, because they'll do that. They'll compare you to things. I currently work as an academic and critical writing lecturer at a London university, but I have been writing fantasy novels for my own entertainment since I could first pick up a wooden sword. I'm also a practitioner of historic European martial arts and hold a couple of history degrees. I hope that my enthusiasm for historical accuracy shows through the book's setting. Now you see there, he has some impressive credentials. An academic, critical writing lecturer, so those are in there, but also his own personal, he loves fantasies. Yeah, he, ever since he's a kid, well, I hope he was a kid when he was picking up a wooden sword and swinging it around, but, you know, whatever. We all do what we do, right? And he practices historic European martial arts. That's cool. That kind of lets you know he probably knows what he's writing about when he gets into action scenes. That actually is very interesting, and then he holds history degrees. So there's probably going to be a lot of historical accuracy. There's probably his book setting is probably going to, you know, look like medieval Europe. You know, we already kind of know that from that. The first three chapters and a brief synopsis are included for your kind attention. The completed manuscript and an expanded synopsis are available upon request. Thank you for taking the time to consider my work. I look forward to your response. Kind regards, Evan McDonald. So, there you go. That's a pretty good example. First three chapters and a brief synopsis. There you go. If you have that, that's a good thing too. You can include the first three chapters. And then this goes to the other point I was going to say. I forgot. So, when I look at, there are publishers who accept unsolicited manuscripts and some that don't. And in the past, I just avoid the ones who don't, because I don't have an agent. Unsolicited means they're not asking you for it. An agent, when you have an agent has their own contacts. They, hey, I have this author. They would like them, so the publisher, okay, yes, we would like to go ahead and send us their book, and the agent, boom, solicited to an, they solicited it through your agent. If you don't have that, which I don't, then you have to submit your book to publishers that accept unsolicited manuscripts. However, you can send a query letter, because a query letter is not like a book proposal. It doesn't have the book attached. They don't have to read the book. This is a one page to see if they want to solicit it. So you can send a query letter even to publishers. Just make sure you follow their rules. Every publisher has submission rules. I give you some of the brief ones that are just known for query letters in general. But look at their specific rules they may have. And they may even say, we don't accept query letters either. You have to come through an agent. It's possible. But even if they don't solicit, you can still send a query letter. And then if they say, okay, this is really cool sounding, Mr. Eric McDonald, this sounds like a super awesome epic fantasy, send us the book. Then that is soliciting you for a book. Nothing else. Don't call the cops. Alright. Now I'm going to pause this again. I just wanted to drop that on you real quick, because we're almost to the hour, and I will try to throw this thing together. Well, that took some doing. Feel like I've written another chapter. It is funny how it seems like it's tougher writing the synopsis or the query letter, things like that, than it is actually writing the story. Alright, well, we're about an hour, so I'll just go ahead and read this and let you guys go. I swear, I'll get to 30 minutes one day. Alright, so here's what I got. Let me turn this down a little bit. Cemetery Spade Zombie Detective is a post-apocalyptic whodunit that explores a twisted plot of conspiracy, world domination, and mind control that sends our titular detective on an adventure through a dystopian cityscape to discover the truth of the zombies' origins and unravel the mystery of the strange dreams that are driving zombies mad. Cemetery Spade was more than happy to while away the apocalypse running the city's only zombie detective agency, filling his time with the occasional odd job and the even more occasional client. But when he agrees to help a zombie known as the Professor that has a fascination with the human world, he finds himself in the middle of the most dangerous case he's ever tackled. The Professor is plagued by dreams and memories that don't appear to be his, and his research has him doubting the origin story told to the masses by the Council, the mysterious leaders that seem to run everything from behind the scenes. Spade will have to call on all his contacts and every trick in his bag to safely guide the Professor to the Tower of Reckoning, the supposed location of the fall of the humans and the evolution of the zombies. Fighting off zombie gangs, the unevolved mindless hordes of amblers, and human survivors with a penchant for removing zombie craniums. Penchant? But why would this decomposing detective risk everything for a client he doesn't know? Because he's having the dreams too. Cemetery Spade Zombie Detective is a noir-style thriller mystery with sci-fi flair, and will be finished by the end of the year at an estimated 60,000 words. The principal audience would be fans of mashup novels like Seth Graham Smith's Smith's Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and supernatural detective novels like Jim Butcher's Dresden Files series, while still appealing to the whodunit sensibilities of anyone who reads Raymond Chandler or Rex Stout. I'm a writer, editor, board game designer, host of the podcast Right Before and Right After, author of the self-published novels Sons of Heaven, The Haunted, and The Guardian, and a lifelong fan of detective fiction. My father raised me on old-time radio programs and dime store detective novels, and I've married my love of gumshoes and gunfights to the apocalyptic adventures, zombie mayhem, and dark humor that I've become fond of as an adult. The first three chapters and an expanded synopsis are available upon request. Thank you very much for your time and consideration. Yours truly, Tom Hartwick, not Johnny Dollar. Last one's in there is a reference to yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and if they don't know of that radio show, then it's going to fall flat and probably be stupid, and I should probably take it out, but we'll see. So that's what I've started with. That was me just writing that real quick. I definitely want to cut everything down. That I like the example I read before of the other guy's thing. I liked how quick that was, so I'll probably do a little trimming and cutting here and there and maybe just moving things around, that sort of thing. Definitely got to clean it up some. But yeah, I like it. That's I have the start of my query letter. Although it does rock. No? Okay. Alright. Well, thank you all for listening, and we'll hopefully get another episode out soon. Send you out with the jazz.